And our first question will come from Cale Dansby with Black Sports Online.
Hi, first question is for Daniel. Daniel, how do you feel getting a shot at the title again so soon? And what can you take from your last fight against John that will really help you this time around?
Well, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited to be getting the title shot so fast. Obviously, anytime you get a chance to fight for the UFC championship, it's a special deal. What do I take from the John fight? Just experience. You know, there are some things that I did wrong in the fight and actually in training camp that I think I've corrected, and I think it gives me a better chance at winning this fight. I didn't have my best fight on January 3rd. I plan on having my best fight on May 23rd.
Thank you. Chris, how do you feel coming back from the injury? Do you feel like this time is similar to the last time where you could just get back in there without rust? Or do you feel like it'll take a little bit longer this time to come back and get back to your normal self?
Did you say Chris Weidman?
Yes, Chris.
Oh. No, I feel, we're in a tough sport. We're always kind of coming back from injuries. You know, it's just kind of like my wrestling background. You get hurt and you become stronger from it. And, I obviously hurt my ribs and it wasn't they healed pretty well. It healed fast and I've had no issues in training camp with the rib. I'm not worried about any ring rust or any type of, no worries about my rib at all. So, all good.
Thank you. Last question, Anthony. Are you a little bit disappointed that your fight isn't against John and that if you win, there might be an asterisk or they'll still say John is the best in the division?
No. John, in my eyes, is still the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world in our weight class. You know, everybody that's in our weight class wants to be able to say, you know, I competed against the best and you know, I fought the champ, you know? And that's the part that's disappointing because he's not around right now. But the part that's not disappointing is that I get to fight another elite athlete, a guy who, in my opinion, is actually a tougher fight for me than John Jones. Because, he's a grinder, you know what I'm saying? He brings it, and it's his second chance, so I know he's going to bring it even more. So, you know, I think it's a good thing for everybody at the end of the day, you know, because you have two guys that are hungry to get the belt. That's what it's about.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys, and look forward to seeing you fight next week. Thank you.
And our next question will come from Damon Martin from Fox Sports.
Hey, guys. First question is for Chris Weidman. Chris, with this fight finally happening, I mean, everything that's gone on from the drug testing to the injuries to everything else that's happened, was there ever a point where you were kind of wondering if this fight was ever going to happen?
Probably at some point. You know, there was a point where, they almost did an interim title and he was going to maybe possibly fight someone else. So there was probably some thought to that. But, you know, he's a guy who is on a 3-5 winning streak. He's never looked better. People, I think, are forgetting about that because he's been out for so long. And I'm prepared for the best Vitor, you know, we've ever seen. And I knew at some point we would have to face each other. You know, it's inevitable.
Yeah. What were your thoughts? I mean, I don't know that I ever heard about the interim title thing. I mean, how was that? How did that sit in your mind when that was introduced? And did you have any input to say, hey, I'm going to be back and there's really no point to doing an interim title?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. I mean, Lorenzo and Dana, they mentioned to me on the phone. I was kind of caught off guard with it because and I started like thinking, all right, you know, what does it really matter if they do an interim? You understand, like business wise, they got to sell a fight. But then what if one of those guys get hurt? When am I going to be able to fight again? I don't want to wait too long. So that was really the biggest issue, you know, because I was going to be ready to fight in May. And if they had another fight that happens in May, then when are they going to be really able to have me fight, you know, for the title? So I'm just happy everything played out the way it played out because it gives me an opportunity to stay in the fight game and keep fighting and making that money.
Yeah. And a question for Vitor, kind of the same thing. I mean, was it Was it discouraging at all with the delays and the time off you've had to take? I mean, it's been a long time since you've been able to fight. I mean, how have you been able to adjust to that and deal with that as you go into this fight?
I think it's just training and keeping your mind focused on what you can do, you know. Not you can't, what you cannot do. So I was focusing on what I can do and just devolving my craft, just get better every day.
If the fight would have happened, you know, a year ago or when it was first scheduled, Vitor, do you think there would have been any difference how this fight's going to play out, or do you feel like it is going to be very much the same fight now that it would have been had you got to fight Chris, you know, a year ago or whenever it was first scheduled?
You know, shouldn't, couldn't, ifs, and all that, that's not in my vocabulary, you know. I just deal with the facts and what's in front of me, and I know this is going to be the best fight in middleweight championship fight that I'm looking for, so very excited.
And a quick question for DC and AJ. I talked to both of you guys right after the fight was made. Now that it's been a couple of weeks, I do want to ask your opinion. Now that we've heard a little bit more come out and his manager talking, I'll go with you first, DC. Do you believe John Jones is going to come back? And kind of a second part to that question, does it matter if John Jones ever comes back, in your opinion?
Well, I think he will. You know, I think he'll be back. You know, this is what he does. John Jones is a fighter, and I don't think that he'd want to walk away from the sport under the circumstances, you know, for everything that he's done positive in this sport to walk away under this black cloud. It would be unfortunate, so I do believe he'll come back. But me personally, do I care if he comes back? I mean, I would love to fight him again, but, I mean, that's really his decision. You know, I don't – it's not a I mean, I'm not going to beg him to come back. You know, he comes back if he wants to.
Yeah. Same question for you, AJ. You know, in your opinion, now that this has kind of had a couple weeks to play out, you know, do you believe he'll come back, and do you personally care if he comes back?
DC answered it perfectly, you know what I'm saying? So I have the exact same feelings as DC has, honestly.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
And now we'll go to Ron Kruk with Inside MMA.
Hey, guys, thanks for the time. First question to Anthony Johnson. Anthony, I thought that was an interesting point that you just said, that you feel that Daniel Cormier is a much tougher fight for you. You mentioned he's a grinder, but can you give us some more details on why he's a more difficult opponent than John Jones?
Right now, I feel that he's just, you know, more difficult because, once again, I mean, I've said it before, this is his second opportunity at a title shot, you know, so he's going to bring everything that he can bring to win that title. You know, he missed, you know, people get second chances in life, and this is his second chance, just like it's my second chance in life, you know, when I returned to the UFC, and you see what has happened so far as far as me, you know what I mean? You know, starting from the bottom and basically working my way to the top. Well, DC was already at the top, and he didn't reach his goal that he was set out to reach, you know, with the title shot against John. Now he has another chance. And it's just going to be a tougher fight for sure. I expect that. I know that. And I know, you know, I'm a wrestler at heart, and Daniel's a wrestler at heart. So I know what it takes to be at this level. And when you get a chance, you got to definitely hop on it. So you know, we're a little crazy because we are wrestlers, so it's just going to be one of those fights that is just, I assume, an all-out war, you know what I mean? And you get to see everything,
sure.
And Daniel has power, he has speed, good technique, and, I mean, his wrestling is top-notch. You mean, nobody can deny that, you know what I mean? And I just think, you know, for me, that's great. You know, and for him, that's great. But to me, he's just going to be a tougher opponent. You know, he might be shorter than me, but the dude packs a lot of power. You know what I'm saying? And John isn't known for packing power. He's known for doing crazy kicks and using his range and his reach or whatever you want to call it and stuff like that. You know, DC is just, you know, that guy. And I truly believe that. So, you know, to me, that's just makes for a more of a difficult fight. But that's what I look forward to.
Great insight. I appreciate that. How much have you and your coaches had to change your strategy now that you're preparing for Cormier?
Well, I went from 6'4" and above to 6 foot and under to train.
Right.
But, you know, we still have our guys in there. Still have the wrestlers. We still have the strikers. We still have the ground guys. So it hasn't really been much of a change. I had to sharpen up some extra tools, and that's it. I, when I fight, I really don't come up with a game plan. I kind of just take whatever they give me. They leave something open. Now, Steph, trust me, I'm going to take it. You know, and that's all how I've always been since I've been a Black Zillion. So not much of a change. Everything's still pretty basic and simple.
Great. And finally, a quick question for champ Chris Weidman. Chris, as you're preparing for your fourth straight Brazilian and veteran in Vitor Belfort, what do you feel is going to be some of the keys to you successfully defending your title?
Just kind of like any other fight. You know, I got to go out there and win. I got to outsmart them. You know, it's a physical game of chess. And when he thinks I'm going to do something, I got to do the opposite. And it really comes down to who's going to be trickier and who can win that match. So that's really what it's going to come down to.
Thanks, guys.
And next we'll go to Jordy McElroy with Bleacher Report.
Hey, guys. This one's for Rumble in D.C. In previous interviews, you both have touched on the fact that this fight coming together isn't anyone's fault. So does it kind of annoy you to have to keep defending the fact that you both are fighting for the real UFC title?
Who's answering first?
Oh, D-Blaine.
Anthony, go ahead. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what, man? It's just that John, he cast such a big shadow on the division, you know, so Anytime this weight class is going to be discussed, there's going to be some mention of John Jones. So it's expected. I mean, obviously for me, you know, I wasn't scheduled to fight for the championship. You know, Anthony was scheduled to fight for the belt. He's obviously just getting exactly what he was promised when he beat Alexander Gustafsson in January. So if anybody that should be asking the question about whether or not the belt is real, it should be me because I just fought for it and lost. He's only getting exactly what he was promised after he earned the title shot in January. It's not his fault that something happened to his opponent outside of the octagon that was so big that the fight couldn't go forward. So it's not annoying for me because it's expected. For Anthony, if I was Anthony, I'd be a little annoyed because I'm only fighting for what I was promised when I beat the number one guy in the division in January.
As far as me, it does get a little annoying because it's like people aren't showing the respect Daniel and I deserve. It's like it's almost like they see us as some chumps or something like that. You know what I mean? Once again, we didn't make John do what he did. You know, that was his own doing. But we're athletes. We are top of the food chain right now, and it is what it is. So it does get kind of aggravating when people want to say, oh, you're the paper champ, things like that. But in my eyes and in my heart, whoever wins this title isn't the paper champ. We are the absolute champion of the weight class. We're the number one. We're the best. So, I mean, it can get aggravating, but at the same time, I'm also telling myself, you know what, people are going to say whatever they want to say, regardless of the outcome. So, you know what, just keep moving forward and just keep doing my best and, you know, just keep it moving. So I try not to pay attention to it, but it does get aggravating.
I've got one more question for Anthony. And Anthony, you're a guy that has shown flashes of talent throughout your UFC run, but now it seems like you've really reached your full potential. What do you feel is key for you getting over the earlier hump and getting to this point?
Maturity. I had to mature. I had to, you know, reevaluate some things and get my act together. And as soon as I did that, you know, everything started paying off, and now I am where I am.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to the fight.
Our next question will come from Jessica Gomez with Brazilian News.
Hi, guys. My first question is for Anthony. Anthony, of course, this is a big event for the Black civilians, both you and Vitor preparing for a title fight. How was it for the team to prepare for two title fights, and how has it been for you to having Vitor as a rival in 2012 and now him being your teammate?
Right now, it's a special moment for the Black civilians. You know, we have, of course, like you said, we have two guys fighting for a title and on the same night. So that itself is just something very special to me and to the team and to Vitor. And the gym is good. We're training hard. You know, we're focused and we're ready. And as far as, you know, fighting Vitor in the past and losing to him, having him as a rival or whatever you want to call it, and now having him as a teammate, it's been an honor. You know, we work together. We communicate really well. We're always pushing each other. You know, Vitor is an awesome guy. And, I look up to him, honestly. And, I'm just living in the moment and cherishing it.
Now, both for you and Daniel, who do you guys think, do you think if John Jones gets his things resolved, do you guys think that he should get an immediate title shot if he comes back?
I believe he should. You know, anytime you've ruled the division as John has for as long as he did, when he comes back, he should get a title shot immediately. I think it does depend on the time. If he's gone for a really long time, I mean, is he really going to want to fight for the belt right away, or will he want to take kind of a tune-up fight first? So I think you leave it up to him, you know?
Anthony, same question.
I absolutely agree with Daniel. Depends on how long he's out. You know, he might want that tune-up fight, but if he's out for, 6 months, you know, less than a year, I think, you know, he does deserve a title shot right away.
Now, my last question, if I may, is for Vitor. Vitor, both you and Chris are really well-rounded fighters, really complete fighters. What do you think is your biggest advantage, technical advantage, over him?
Just the moment, size the moment. I think you got to be living the moment and enjoy what you do. And that's the way I fight. That's the way I think I evolved during this season, that I've been 19 years of this sports. You know, just understand that everything is a moment. You got to just enjoy and size the moment and take it.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward for the fight.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 now. Our next question will come from Ken Pishner with MMAweekly.com.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the time. Vitor, you've had a long layoff before this fight, and, you navigated the TRT era, and right or wrong, you became kind of the poster boy for that. And then also you've had to wait through some various injuries and other delays to the fight. How have you looked back on your time of, you know, being about a year and a half or so since you last fought? How has that been a positive time for you, a negative time? I mean, how do you look back at that time off, and how did you, you know, maintain your focus to stay prepared for this fight with so many delays?
So the way I look life is like yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, and today is cash on hand. And I've been doing this for so long. 19 years ago, I was become champion in UFC on the tournament. I see it as a blessing, and that's the way in life, you know, we got to take the good and the bad. And it's just how you live and how you face trials and things that I believe they all make you stronger. You're just a matter of choice. So I'm blessed, man, what I am right now.
So even all those, the delays and having to go through the TRT battles and stuff, you don't see that as negative things as far as how you emerge from that? You see it as taking a negative and turning it into a positive?
Yeah, that's what it is, you know. Just depending how you take it. It's all about perspective. What lens you're going to be looking at, you know, depends, you know. You got the haters, people that this and that, but you know what, that's life. You know, no one kick like a dog. That is doesn't mean anything. So it's like a, that's the kind of same Brazil. I don't know if you mean in English, but you know, I've been here before, and I'm blessed to be here, man. How many guys from my area are still around? So I'm very blessed, man. That's the word. Blessed and joy.
Well, and Chris, kind of along the same lines, it's, you know, it's been a long time since this fight was being put together, you know, a year and a half or so ago. And, you know, you've had one fight in that time and came out looking really good. And that, but then you've had to deal with some injuries and stuff. How has this like year and a half or so been for you? I mean, has Vitor always been kind of in the back of your mind, and how have you stayed focused on this fight?
You know, Vitor has definitely always been in the back of my mind since it all started going down. I knew this fight was going to happen, but, you know, with this time off, it's all about, I think life is all about, you know, self-improvement and, you know, creating a better you. And that's what I've been working on, you know, to become a better family man, becoming closer with God, physically. You know, I feel like we're all infants in this game of mixed martial arts, and just trying to get better in every single aspect. You know, trying to be the best in the world in jiu-jitsu, and the best in the world in wrestling, and the best in the world in boxing, and then able to put it all together. So there's just so much for us to learn every single day. So that's really what I've just been focused on, self-improvement in every single aspect of life.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
And next, we'll take a question from Stephen Molnhausen from SportingJuice.com.
Thank you guys for the time today. And I'll start with Vitor. And just looking at your whole time off, about a year and a half since you'll be entering the cage coming up next weekend, and did you ever think that you would still get the opportunity considering the long layoff?
Yes, you know, to have the opportunity, you said, that's what you said.
Did you think that the title shot would still be there for you, considering the long layoff, considering all the new contenders at 185?
Sure. I'm very positive. I got a choice. Either when I think positive on my behalf or negative, so I choose positive.
What do you make of the weight class? Since you have been on, a lot of new contenders have emerged, like UL Romero, Jacare, and Luke Rockhold. What do you make of the new rising contenders in the weight class?
I'm focused on fighting next weekend, so I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm focused on performing right now, so I don't have nothing in my mind besides fighting next weekend.
And Chris, I know you've really been, you know, you've been a really staunch, you know, been really on Vitor about everything that has gone on with him and his personal life with CRT and et cetera. Did you think, A, he's still deserving of the title shot? And did you think that this fight would even occur, considering everything that has gone on with him personally?
What was the last question?
Did you think that, you know, considering everything that happened with him personally with the TRT, do you think that he deserves this title opportunity?
Yeah, I think he deserves it. If you watch his last three fights, I mean, he knocked out three different studs. You know, three top guys in the world, and then he went through all everything he went through, took all this time off. People are starting to forget about that, but yeah, no, he deserves it. He's a very dangerous opponent, and you know, I'm prepared for that.
Our next question will come from Dave Dibert from Post Media News.
Hi, thanks you guys. Quick one for Daniel. Now I apologize if this has been asked already. I'm just jumping back on, but you competed at the Olympics, fought 5-round fights before, but specifically looking at a UFC title shot, having been through it once already, now, is there anything that you take from that first title fight, you know, that maybe was unexpected, looking back on it? You know, anything that you take going into it for a second time?
You know, the first time, the build-up was insane. You know, with all the stuff that John and I went through and fighting at that press conference and stuff, the build-up was insane, and it wore on me. And I was so emotionally attached to that promotion in that fight that I think at a point, it just, like, the energy was just kind of drained out of me. This time feels good. You know, this isn't the first time I've trained or fought a five-round fight. I had two training camps for Josh Barnett while I was training for five rounds. I broke my hand and the fight got pushed back once. And then I trained five rounds and fought him. Then I trained five rounds twice against Jones, you know, and then I was training for Bader five rounds. So, you know, five rounds makes the fight tougher. But as you said, you know, I've been here. I fought at the top of the sport against Jones, against Barnett, and some of the best guys in the world. But if anything surprised me, it was how emotionally attached I was to that fight against Jones. Do I take anything from it? Yeah, I take that I went and fought the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world and left the octagon I was healthy. You know, I left the octagon without taking much damage. I didn't get all cut up like most guys. He fought, and I wasn't bleeding. I think I may have had a bloody nose, and that was pretty much the extent of my injuries after 25 minutes of fighting Jones.
Did you recognize how emotional you were while all the buildup was going on? Or is that something, when you're in the middle of it, you might not see it, but looking back, you're like, you know, wow.
You know what? I didn't, you know, and looking back at the whole thing from the press conference to John and I trying to fight inside the MGM in that corridor, the press conference, jawing at each other, and then just feeling myself inside of the octagon that night and that dump, you know, like that it was finally happening, and then having that dump, it was like, wow, you know, as much as it sucked to lose, I thought that after that fight, I would be separated from him, you know, and it was welcome. It was almost like a weight lifted off of my shoulder to not have to be so consumed with John Jones it had consumed my life. So looking back, I could tell how emotionally involved I was. This time feels good because I like Rumble. I think he's a great guy. You know, I've known of Rumble Johnson since 2000 when he used to help do wrestling camps in Reno, Nevada for Oklahoma State. You know, so he's a good guy, and there's no emotions. There's no I hate this guy. You know, so more than anything, it was afterwards when I looked back on the fight and the build up and the promotion. I was like, man, that was hard, man. It was very tough looking back.
All right. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it.
No problem.
And our final question today comes from Kendrick Johnson from Source Magazine.
Hey, guys. Thanks for your time. This question is for Chris. Chris, do you feel like that you have to be Vitor dominantly to let everybody know that you're over the injuries and that you're still the king of the 185 division? Or do you think you just want to get the win?
No. My goal every time is to kind of separate myself from the division and make a statement. To the world, to prove to myself where I think my abilities are, prove to my coaches what they think. So I'm coming into this fight to make a statement and to go in this fight to look for a finish.
And what do you think? What wrinkles are we going to see? Because every time we see you in the octagon, you add more to it. Like last time, you kind of beat Lyoto in his own game. You have anything special playing for Vitor since he's been in the game for so long? It's like there's nothing he has to see before.
Yeah, we've been. I mean, I've been off now for a while. I've worked a lot of different new techniques. I have a lot of new magic tricks to bring to the game. And I'm excited to be comfortable enough to do it in the octagon. You know, I'm doing this sparring, I'm doing practice, and then to be able to bring yourself to another level to do it in a fight in front of millions of people when there are lots online is another story. And that's how you grow. So I'm looking forward to coming to this fight and to grow as a fighter.
All right. Good luck. And this my last question is for both Anthony and Daniel. Do both of y'all both talked about the shadow that John casts on your division. Yeah, but whoever wins, do y'all feel that you have to fight John to legitimize your title reign for public perception?
Well, you know what, man? Honestly, but, you know, trying to change you know, so there's a really, really good chance the one killer I fight Jones when he so long, that's all. In the age, public perception, the best you can't win. So, not necessarily. You know, I think you have to win the fight. You know, Anthony and I are the two guys that are fighting for this belt, and realistically should be fighting for the belt. Anthony's blasted everybody he's fought, and I only lost one fight to the number one pound guy in the world. So we are where we're supposed to be. But would it help to beat Jones? Yes. But under the circumstances, I'm not sure it would do that much to change public perception, because I believe people believe what they want to believe, and it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah. Same question for you, AJ.
Once again, I agree with DC. You know what I'm saying? He's hitting the nail on top of the, you know, the head. You know, so people going to believe what they want to believe. They're going to say what they want to say. They're going to think what they want to think. At the end of the day, I'm going to just do me. I don't care. You know, whatever happens, happens. I mean, I really have no feelings about it, I guess. That's just how I am right now, because I'm so focused on, you know, the fight. I really don't have time to even think about anything like that.
All right, good luck.
The problem that we have as athletes is that we try to – people try – athletes try to appease people and try to make people think what they want them or feel how they want them to feel about them. And that's where you make mistakes. That's where you lose yourself. I think the name of the game is being true to who you are, and some people are going to accept it and some people aren't. It doesn't matter who wins this belt next weekend. People will say whatever they want. But the thing for me and Anthony to do is hold that belt proud, hold it high, and be proud of the accomplishments that we will achieve next weekend, because there are so many people in the world that will never, ever reach that level.
Much respect to both of y'all. I look forward to seeing a good show next weekend.
Thank you.
And at this time, I'd like to turn the conference back over to Dave Schaller for closing remarks.
Thanks, Melissa, and thank you all for joining today's call. Before we wrap up, I want to say thank you to Anthony, Daniel, Chris, and Vitor, and run you all through the media schedule for next week. Next Wednesday, UFC 187 Fight Week kicks off with open workouts. That's on the MGM Grand Casino floor right next to the Race and Sports Book. Starts at 1 o'clock and features our co-main and main event competitors. On Thursday, we have Ultimate Media Day. That is at 1 o'clock. That features Johnson, Cormier, Weidman, Belfort, Cerrone, McDessie, Brown, Arlovsky, Benavidez, Moraga, Dodson, and Makovsky. That is free and open to the public, as are the open workouts. And then lastly, that night on Thursday, we have the UFC 189 Conor McGregor media workout. That will take place at 4:30 p.m. at the Ultimate Fighter Gym. That event is closed to the public. We will see you guys next weekend. Don't forget an all-new episode of the Ultimate Fighter tonight. And then this weekend, it's UFC Fight Morning as Frankie Edgar takes on Uriah Faber in Manila, 8 a.m. Eastern. Talk to you guys then. Thanks for your time today.